So maybe you've been there, either as a parent or as a child. Imagine the scenario. Children. Give me that. Give me this. Poke, poke, poke. Nudge, nudge, nudge. Someone gets smacked. Someone gets yelled at. Someone gets spoken to harshly. And as the adult in the room, either you've said it or you had it said to you as a child, I want you to say you're sorry right now. Sorry. All right? I want you to say it, and I want you to mean it. Sorry. I want you to forgive them. I forgive you. Right? We've all been there, or we've all, like, encouraged that scenario in our lives, because deep down, as adults, we kind of recognize the great value in teaching humility and the humility and ability to ask for forgiveness and to offer it. So why is it so hard for us to do those same things, to ask for forgiveness and to offer it? We tend to think of so many disciplines in our lives like weight training. If you just keep doing the work, then that work gets easier. I'm here to tell you, this one may not. This one may not. We do the work of gaining spiritual muscle, absolutely. But seeking forgiveness and offering it may never get that much easier. It's hard. It's hard work. Because we are hard people. How many friendships have been ruined because we can't say, I'm sorry? How many families have been torn apart because built up bitterness and resentment? How many marriages fail because we can see neither where we have hurt our spouse, nor do we see a need to ask for forgiveness because we're right, or to provide forgiveness because we've been hurt? Now, I recognize in almost every example we can give, these hurts are not flippant. They're real. They're real hurts. Whether it's enemies, friends, family, spouse, there are hurts and words and wounds from breaches of trust, from violations of privacy, from lack of faithfulness, from intentional harm, from accidental injury, from willful negligence, and on and on and on the list goes. Now, some of these are brought about by our actions, our words, and our deeds, and some of them we are the recipients of. For all of these, God has a response in mind for us that He first demonstrated for us. Let's pray right now as we begin to look at God's response for us, which is forgiveness. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, please speak to me clearly about what to say and not to say this morning. Father, open our hearts as immediately as we think forgiveness, whether seeking it or offering it, our hearts may have a tendency to close. We may have a root of bitterness or resentment, or we may not see ourselves nearly as we ought. Father, encourage us, strengthen us, stretch us, challenge us, make us more like You today. In Your name we pray. Amen. Today we're looking at forgiveness. Now, January 22nd, if you remember, Greg spoke to us on forgiveness. I know you remember all of that sermon. And we were talking about reconciliation and forgiveness, especially in light of what God has done for us, and in particular with what God has done for us. And this is the place where we start again today. And I want to talk about four things in particular, four areas, with a fifth kind of caveat, warning, and question phase after. So you kind of follow along where we're going. First, we're going to talk about the example of forgiveness. Then our call to forgiveness. Then the peril of unforgiveness. And the blessing of forgiveness as we go on today. First, the example of forgiveness. And we need look no farther than the Lord God Himself, our God. Early on in Nehemiah 9, it says, Thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And we've sung so many songs that relate to that. We kind of know it as part of our background and mindset. Psalm 130. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. And we read Psalm 51, 1-9 this morning, speaking of pleading for and being granted forgiveness. Now, these are not just flippant sketches, again, of God's thought process in regards to sin. We might think forgiveness of sin is no big deal. Wave of a hand, it's done. Hail Mary and a good deed and you're all set. God's got it. He's under control. No big deal. Sin's not really a big deal. I can just pardon it and we'll go on our way. Wrong. Wrong. Sin is a big deal. It is a very big deal. What does Scripture tell us? For the wages of sin is death. God, as revealed in Scripture, is holy and perfect, and every act of sin is an affront to God. Every sin separates us from God. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us as a substitute for us. So that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And to change our state of alienation from being separate from God to becoming His sons and daughters. Not just adopted in, but heirs with full rights as children of our Heavenly Father, without reservation and without restriction. Wow. That's awesome stuff. If you have more questions about this example of forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, I encourage you to go online, check out Greg's message from January 22nd. Again, it's a wonderful picture for us of this relationship, restoring ability of forgiveness with bringing us back into right relationship with God. We have a perfect God who has every right to be perfectly offended by our betrayal, our unfaithfulness, our lies, our deceit, our breaches of trust, our intentional harm. Our offenses are not just hurtful to God, they're repugnant. They're odious, they're hateful, and they separate us. But He chose to love us and to sacrifice His Son and to forgive us through Christ, as those verses I just went over, when we confess Christ as the answer to our separation. We are reconciled to God. There is no reconciliation with God without confession or forgiveness. And there's neither confession nor forgiveness without the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ. Let me repeat that. There is no reconciliation with God without confession and forgiveness. And there is neither confession nor forgiveness without the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ. So the strength for reconciliation, the example of reconciliation, and the blueprint for reconciliation come from God through Jesus Himself. This is our example. And if Christ is our example and we have to walk in His steps, then the call to us is clear: to seek forgiveness and to forgive. The call to seek forgiveness and to forgive. There's this story of two faithful sisters who were followers of Christ, and one day they had a falling out in an argument over theology and divinity. And they chose to continue to live together, but they did not speak. They drew a line through the apartment. They drew a line through their lives. And they went the rest of their lives as sisters, living together, worshiping together, going to church together, but never speaking again. Say, how can this be? We know how it can be. Because neither one could ask for or grant forgiveness to the other. Are you estranged from someone? I'm not asking, are you strange? I know it's weird. Are you estranged from someone? Are you not speaking with someone? Are you angry Maybe you're just living with tension because it's just too late. It's just too late to ask for forgiveness. Or they will never admit what they did to hurt me, and I won't forgive them until they do. Or maybe your situation is much, much worse. Really, truly, seemingly beyond reconciliation. What does God have to say to us? Well, He says to us through Scripture, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Forgive us our sins, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive those who sin against us. If possible, insofar as it depends on you, live in peace with all men. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, "I repent," forgive him. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And lastly, if you are presenting your offering and there remember that your brother has something against you, go your way. First be reconciled to your brother. This is clear. Our call is so clear before God. Do we think God is serious about this? Absolutely. Is He clear? Absolutely. Do we think God understands how difficult it is for us to recognize our sin, to humble ourselves, and ask for forgiveness? Do we think God understands how hard it is to forgive others when we've been so grievously wronged? Let me ask you the question again. Do we think God understands how hard it is to forgive when we have been so grievously wronged? Absolutely. He's the only one who understands completely. Because all offenses of our sin are against Him, and He forgave them all. He's the only one who understands how hard it is. I want to make mention of two things in this call in particular. Number one, it may not be possible immediately for the seeking of and the offering of forgiveness. And I understand that. Number one, there are times to wait to seek forgiveness. Let's recognize that. Sometimes the anger of another prevents us from immediately responding and offering our apology or understanding the wrong we've hurt. And there may be time it takes to offer that and to seek reconciliation and forgiveness. And conversely, there are times when we are not yet ready to extend forgiveness. And that, I don't think that's the issue we're going to be talking about here. It's this act of understanding that this is our call. This is what God wants for us. The last time I spoke to my cousin Donna, who almost a year ago now lost her husband Steve, my best man, to a distracted driver. I spoke to her and she said specifically, "I know I need to forgive. And I'm working through that with God. But I'm not ready yet to meet her and to offer it to her specifically. But I'll get there." There's an understanding that this is the call for us. And emotionally, we may not be there yet. But God calls us through His example and His demonstration of forgiveness to work towards forgiveness in our hearts. The call to love others is clear, and seeking and offering forgiveness might just be the highest form of love that we can offer another. But what if we can't or won't forgive? What if we can't or won't forgive? This is the peril. This is the peril of unforgiveness. Not seeking or providing forgiveness leaves no room for reconciliation and imperils our souls. Do you hear me? It imperils our souls. And you say, "Really? Come on, Brian. That's pretty harsh language. That's pretty serious sounding." I have to admit, I was amazed, and I am amazed, at the language used in Scripture as I started studying again forgiveness in this way. The language, I was blown away. Listen carefully to the language used here in Scripture about the peril of unforgiveness. Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. What's the connotation? In order to receive mercy, we must be merciful. And if we are not merciful, we ought to beware. Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shake his fist at him, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say to you, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. It's the words of our Savior. Not seeking reconciliation or harboring resentment or bitterness imperils our soul. Matthew 6, the next chapter. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Difficult. Difficult. It's not just once. This is repeated in Mark 11. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. James 2:13, for judgment will be merciless for those who have shown no mercy. And we have the story in Matthew 18 as Peter says, you know, the Pharisees say you should forgive three times. That's a pretty good number. So Peter asks in Matthew 18 of Jesus, how many times should we forgive? Seven? It's a much more biblically sounding number. Seven. It's better than three, right? What's Jesus' response to Peter? Not seven, Peter, but 70 times seven. Unlimited forgiveness. And then he goes on to tell a story. And he tells the parable of a king. And the king has brought in before him a man who owes, in today's dollars, what's equivalent to about $1 billion. With a total inability to pay back, he falls and begs for mercy. And the king grants mercy, forgives him completely his debt. He says, I count it against you no more. Go on. And the man goes out and does what? Forgives everyone else their debts? Nope. The man finds the man who owes him a significantly smaller sum and says, pay it now or I'll have you thrown in jail. I can't pay. Have mercy. No mercy will be shown to you. And he has him thrown into prison. And the king finds out in our story, as Jesus is telling, and he says, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And Jesus' takeaway as he finishes this parable, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Could this be more clear? Could this be more sobering? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Specifically translated, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. St. Augustine called this middle section of the Lord's Prayer the terrible petition. The terrible petition. Do you understand why? Because he realized that if we pray this prayer with an unforgiving heart, we are asking God not to forgive us. If we have an unforgiving heart, we are asking God not to forgive us. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us. it would be important for us to say, where is our heart? On the occasion when General Oglethorpe said to John Wesley in a particularly prideful moment, "I never forgive," Wesley famously replied, "Then I hope, sir, you never sin." God knows us. He made us. God knows that unforgiveness breaks our fellowship with Him, that He won at great cost and through His own forgiveness. This is why it's so important to God. He also knows that unforgiveness leads to bondage, to bitterness and to resentment, to cherished animosities and harbored hatred. Hebrews 12:15 puts it this way: "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Our unforgiveness hurts us. Our unforgiveness hurts us, not the offender. There's a man had her knock at the door. Opened the door. It was just a guest come. Can I stay the night? Absolutely. Come on in. The man wakes up in the morning, realizes the guest is gone, along with some things that he valued highly. Got robbed. The next night, that very next night, knock at the door. The man opens the door. It's the same guest. I really need a place to stay. Can I stay? Sure, come on in. Spends the night, wakes up. Things that he values are gone. Of course, a third night, of course, the knock at the door. Can I stay the night? Absolutely. Come on in. Stays the night, wakes up in the morning. Things he values are gone. Of course, we all have heard the phrase, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me," or maybe even a third time. But there's a little different application for us here today. We allow that offender in. And it's not our fault sometimes. Sometimes we are offended by others. Sometimes we are hurt. Sometimes that pain is deep, and there's nothing we can do about it. But not forgiving, not moving past, using God's strength to forgive, by doing that, we continually allow that person or that thing or that hurt or that resentment a foothold in our life. We keep inviting it back. And it continues to rob us of our joy and our peace, those things we cherish or value. Resentment, unforgiveness, is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies. You ever heard that? It's Augustine. Resentment, unforgiveness, is like taking poison into ourselves and hoping the other person dies. There is difficulty here. God says, tells us clearly, the peril of unforgiveness is our very souls, our very lives, our joy, and our peace. However, there is blessing in seeking and offering forgiveness. There is blessing. Well, what is the blessing? Number one, forgiveness restores our relationship with God. We know this. We started our message today, this reminder that forgiveness restores our fellowship with God. Just like at the first, we are never closer to God nor more like Him than when we forgive others. We're never closer to God nor more like Him than when we forgive others. When we forgive, we're performing literally a function that had its origins in heaven with God's work for us. Our forgiveness restores our fellowship with God. And number two, just like with God, reconciliation in our relationships. Reconciliation in our relationships begins with seeking and offering forgiveness. My kids love Adventures in Odyssey. Yesterday they were listening to an Adventures in Odyssey story about something slightly different, but they finished with this quote, and I immediately perked. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Stole it. Using it. Relationships are a series of steps. Who is the character who said that? Do you remember? Khan. Relationships are a series of steps. You can only take the one in front of you. Relationships are a series of steps. You can only take the one in front of you. For many of us, that next step in a relationship is apologizing, is recognizing that we have hurt someone, that we have offended, that we have transgressed, and that we ought to seek forgiveness for something we've done or not done. And that's the only step we can take, the next step. And for some of us, the only step we can take in a relationship in front of us is to offer forgiveness when it is sought or when it is not yet sought. That next step. Reconciliation happens or begins to happen when we seek to forgive others and when we seek the forgiveness of others. I want to finish this morning with a few warnings, caveats, kind of reminders, and some questions. Number one, I want to remind us and warn us that forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. We may not be able to control our emotions. Like my cousin Donna, she's just not there yet. The pain, the grief, the hurt that will go on for her forever in this lifetime, she's having a hard time overcoming them. That's real. That's real in our lives as well. We can't always control our emotions. But there are things we can control. Our thoughts. It's a choice to control our thoughts. Don't foster those negative thoughts and emotions toward that person. We can control our words. Don't undermine your ability to forgive by constantly reliving and telling the tale. Don't undermine your ability to forgive by constantly reliving and telling the tale. And we can choose to control our actions. Will we demonstrate love even when we've been hurt? Second warning and caveat is that forgiveness of others doesn't necessarily mean you have to trust them. Forgiving someone else for a hurt they've caused you and being forgiven at the same time doesn't mean we will be trusted. We wouldn't take an embezzler and say, "I forgive you, here's a bunch of money, you're in charge of it." Right? That wouldn't be wise or prudent. There's got to be time built in for trust to begin to develop again. It also doesn't mean that they're on the outs forever. That trust can be built, and we ought to allow for opportunities for that to grow. Third, when we have offended, we are responsible to pursue reconciliation. We are. But we're also called to live with the pain if it doesn't succeed. When we have offended, we are not responsible for the reconciliation, simply for pursuing it with humility and integrity. We have to seek peace and pursue it, we're told. But ultimately, God is responsible for changing hearts and for bringing that reconciliation about. Last warning, please, don't publicly forgive others for private or unknown offenses. Do not publicly forgive others for private or unknown offenses. That would be for you, not for them. I remember distinctly, I had a woman approach me and said, I just want you to know that I forgive you. I'm like, okay. When you were 10, you were out playing in the yard, and we drove into the driveway, and your father came and talked to us in the car, but you never came and talked to us. And I want to forgive you for that. I was a little taken aback. I didn't know how to deal with that. Was that for you? Was that for me? I didn't understand. Publicly professing forgiveness when it's a private or unknown sin is for us. That makes us feel better and us feel known, and your hurt is now known to you. It's really only to injure you and to help me. We ought to be forgiving, and I hate to use the example of someone else doing it to me. I should find an example of me doing it to someone, but I just can't remember any. I've never done that. Private or unknown offenses, we ought to be forgiving privately before our Heavenly Father who sees and who knows. Reconciliation happens through forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't change the past. It enlargens our future. It enlargens our future with others before God. A few questions as we finish this morning. Number one, have I wronged someone? Have I wronged someone? Either by commission or omission, acts I've done or not done, things I've said or not said? And have I taken sufficient steps to be reconciled? Have I taken sufficient steps before God and before others to be reconciled? Another, am I living with unforgiveness in my heart by choice? Am I living with unforgiveness in my heart because I've not been asked to forgive someone, or because they don't understand what they've done to me? God's call is clear. His example is perfect. He will strengthen us for the task of doing what He has called us to do. And it's for our good. He's called us to do it. He's called us to forgive, to be like Him, to display the kind of love He showed by forgiving and bringing reconciliation. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, quietly in our hearts, we confess to You, as the psalmist, that we have sinned. And though so many of our sins are against others, they are ultimately against You. We are sorry. Father, forgive us for our sins. Father, we know that You do forgive us because You've told us so. Because Jesus died for us as our substitute without sin. He took our place, paying the penalty for our sins. And You've removed them as far as the east is from the west and washed us whiter than snow. Father, You're the only one who understands fully what it means to forgive the unworthy, us. Father, thank You for that example. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would strengthen us to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts, and see where we're living with unforgiveness, and to see where we have hurt or damaged another. Father, strengthen us to approach them with humility and ask for forgiveness and to seek reconciliation. And Father, pray for this. We pray for the strength, for it is only by Your strength that we can let go of resentments and hurts and forgive others. We pray that you would help us to do that this morning. Father, thank you that you know us. You know what's good for us. And this is good for our souls. It is good for our relationships. It is good for your kingdom. It is good for our relationship with you. May we seek forgiveness, and may we offer it freely. In your Son Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray, for it is only by him that we are forgiven. Amen. Please stand for our benediction. Go from here today as witnesses of what you have seen and heard. Humbly offer apology, restitution, and contrition to those you have offended. Share God's love through forgiveness of those who ask and those that do not. Be strengthened, knowing this is God's will for your good and that of His kingdom. Live lives characterized by forgiveness and love. And may the love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit be within you and among you until we meet again. Go in peace.